wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in on this Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ, and it's just another bash dusty day, it looks like, Lance. It just is.
You mean the manager for the number one team in the American
League? Yeah, they're the number one team in the American League. They're great, and it's awesome. And
33 games above 500.
Yeah, time to bash them. Well, I mean,
saw it on. I didn't see the game. I saw it all on Twitter. I watched. I kept track of Urquidy's performance and the hitting. I mean, on my app, so I am aware of. I know about people's. It's like, I don't know if they realize what the lineup is. You know, people keep waiting for these lineups to look different. I'm not sure people all realize. Mancini was in there again. I'm not sure people realize that there's not Brantley anymore. So it's not these lineups. I understand wanting a static lineup, but the lineups are not going to look the way they used to look anymore. That's just not going to happen.
So,
Everyone gets upset.
Mauricio Dubon off?
I mean, did Altuve play?
Okay, who's a better hitter?
Did Altuve start? No.
Did Altuve start? So Dubon played shortstop. So that meant Peña was going to lead off. It looked like Altuve was going to bat sixth because that's Ledmus Diaz took his place.
Well, Ledmus Diaz you're doing a dusty thing, but realistically, Ledmus Diaz, who is performing at a high OPS level, is classically going to be somewhere. Frankly, that's classically a number six hole hitter for Dusty.
Yeah.
It actually is.
Well, I mean, but Dubon leading
off. Is this
off,
really what everyone's mad about, that Dubon is a leadoff hitter, but Gurriel, Alvarez, Bregman,
and what,
Tucker,
what,
and Diaz?
Why would Deep Dubon ever lead off?
I mean, honestly, because he's got speed.
No.
It's an
old
National League thing.
How about that thing where you bat more than everybody else?
Well, it was 1-for-5. I mean, he had a base hit.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a base
hit. Ledmus had 0, so is that, Dusty make the right
call? No.
Diaz didn't
but you
have a
still
hit?
Put your better hitters. Who's better at batting? Is it Jake Meyers or is it Mauricio Dubon?
I don't know. I would assume
it's
Mauricio
Jake
Dubon.
Meyers, and everybody talks about how Jake Meyers sucks, and yet he is a better hitter.
Not by much. It's 262. What are you talking about? It's 216 to 207 just in the batting averages. What kind of fist fight is that?
Well, right. But why?
The worst ever?
So in what? When would you ever lead Jake Meyers off?
I wouldn't lead Dubon off, but I mean, I don't know. To me, it's kind of like, where would you hit? So Jake Meyers leads off at 216. I don't want that either.
No, I don't want Jake Meyers and Dubon in the same
lineup.
You're
going to have
two 500 OPS guys in the lineup.
But I'm trying. Okay, tell me what the solution would have been. Well, where you avoid having three soft hitters back to back to back.
Well, what three soft hitters? You got Meyers. There is no solution to it when you got three soft
exactly.
hitters.
Exactly. There is no solution.
But you don't lead off a guy that's one of your worst hitter in the lineup.
I don't. It's just we just like to argue.
No,
we
no,
just
no.
Like
it's not. No, it's Mauricio
stuff.
Dubon. I don't know how you could possibly argue that Mauricio Dubon would ever lead off.
That's the only thing you can complain about.
No, you can complain about him pulling Urquidy.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm talking about from a lineup standpoint because I saw this with the lineup. I'm like, what do they want? I mean, it's not like Dubon is hitting 4. It's not like Meyers is hitting 6. It's his best hitters all lined up, stacked up in a row. Gurriel, Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker, Diaz. Those are the best guys. And then followed by Mancini. Those are the best hitters, and they're all lined up right in a row, just like pretty much every lineup that you have in baseball. He's got a situation where Altuve didn't play. If Altuve had played, they would, you know, reconfigured, and Altuve would have been leading off. He obviously didn't want to play Altuve, so, you know, we're still getting Altuve his rest. He pinch hit later. I don't know. I think the lineup was the lineup. There's only so many things you can do with it. I don't know what else Dusty could have done. He could have let off with another soft hitting hitter first, or completely changed and had somebody like you said.
I mean,
except for the fact
that
Pena didn't play, he's not going to have Tucker lead off. Tucker's on a tear right now. Tucker's a run producer.
Which means
want
he gets
Tucker,
more. He gets more.
Don't
at bats.
Want Tucker hitting after
well, George
those
Springer's
slaps
a run
at
producer
the back
too. But he
that
he
was
always
different,
let
John.
Off
they were so much better in 17. These guys are slaps at the end of the lineup. You're going to have Tucker in RBI positions with Maldonado. Myers.
All right,
is
not
the
Tucker.
Guys.
Just stop with DuBont. I mean, stop. I don't know what his. DuBont
but
starts
don't play
more than
him.
Any. It's amazing.
But
it
don't
is amazing.
Play DuBont.
You know what? Click is going to have to take that away, just like he had to take away Miles Straw.
Play Well, DFA him, but you send it to the minors. But play Chaz McCormick. If that's the problem you're having, then play Chaz McCormick.
Well, Chaz McCormick. It was a right hander on the mound, and Chaz McCormick can't hit right handers.
I don't care. DuBont can't hit pitching.
No, can't DuBont. If a guy can throw, he's a 500 OPS guy. But that's not it. It's the Urquidy decision, and it's just. And as it happened, but when a guy is cruising along the way Urquidy was, and I'm looking at a story here, and this is coming from Fan Nation inside the Astros. I don't know. They're not putting a name on it. It's time to move Urquidy to the bullpen. What? What?
That's a new media fan site.
But. Because, you know, you're going to have – because you – first of all, I like the six-man rotation now. Fewer starts for Verlander as they head towards – and did you see the postseason schedule? As they head to – it's going to be there are some interesting things in it, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But as you head to the postseason, Verlander's going to have fewer starts, which I like. I'm coming off the 2 years off. I mean, you don't want him throwing 200-plus innings, so maybe this will curtail that a little bit. You want Lance McCullers with some more time off because he, you know what, coming off of his injuries, you would like to see him start less. And all of these guys, and now Urquidy hit 94 pitches last night, but he's got 5 days off after that. You know what? That's totally sweet. There was absolute zero reason after a guy dribbled one to third base and got on that you pull Urquidy out of that game, especially the way that he's been hitting pitch last night. Dude was unhittable. These guys were going back to the dugout.
No, that was a terrible decision.
Guy after guy after guy were going back shaking their heads.
You can't – there is no – there's honestly, I can't imagine a single person who could defend. You hadn't even reached your 100-pitch mark yet. You had two men out in the inning. You just had to get one more out, and you had an infield single prior – I understand it's going to be you made a pitching decision. I'm sure it's based on matchups against the other, you know, against the other hitters that were there. You want to tell me he had one out and then he walked a second hitter? Absolutely. I would completely understand that. But you can't. I just don't understand after having out infield single and you've still got. What was it? Six pitches in the chamber for him. If you want to just stay adhere to a strong 100. Pitch mark, you still had some pitches in the chamber to unload, and you didn't. That's the thing that was a random pulling yesterday. I'm sure it's not. I'm sure once again there was something having to do with, you know, Montero's performance against pitchers against hitters in the lineup.
Well, apparently he was good. He's good against Vaughn, but so is Urquidy. Okay, Montero, I think it faced Vaughn three times in his life. What? And by the way, Montero sucked the other day too. Montero sucked the other day and he sucked yesterday. But Montero's been great all year, and Dusty's going to stay with this guy. And you know what? I don't want to give up on Montero, but he was, oh my goodness, was he awful, awful, awful last night. The thing is, it reminded me so much of Game 7 pulling Greinke. It just reminded me so much of that. that, and this isn't game seven, obviously. It's a regular season game against the White Sox, in, you know, and you got a huge lead and everything else and all of that. We're not going to don't want to overreact that way. But it just reminded me of, what are you doing? Stop overmanaging. Leave the guy alone. He looks great. Urquidy, since June 8th, he has gotten his ERA down from 5.04 to 3.69. And that ain't easy with all the innings that he has accumulated. I mean, he has been fantastic. He gave him five against the Rangers the other day, but 7 2/3, one run. 7, no runs. 6 2/3, two runs. 6 innings, one run. 6 1/3, three. 8, one, three runs. 6, one run. 7, one run. 6, one run. I mean, he has been awesome. Awesome. He's your third starter right now. McCullers is going to have to make the case. I know Lance McCullers has got the contract. I know Lance McCullers has got the experience and everything else. But Urquidy's got postseason experience as well. And he's looked great in the postseason, too.
Yeah, but Lance has, you know, Lance should have at least 8 more starts to go, 7 more starts to go, 8 more starts to go. So if he pitches well, that he's a lock. If he pitches,
yeah.
If he pitches average to slightly above average, he's a lock.
Unless Urquidy continues to throw Dusty the way
he is. Dusty is not bailing on a guy that he believes in. Well, he already told you that.
Well, I get that, but Urquidy's this guy, too. Urquidy's been here since he got here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but Lance was the dude last year.
Yeah, yep, he was. No question about
it. He was the number one. He was SP1.
So, and Urquidy answered all the questions the right way. Here's Urquidy after the game. It got getting pulled after 7 2/3.
Yes, I was ready for that, but, you know, I'm sorry. This is a decision of the manager, and I respect that. I think it's a right moment for BL, but it's part of the baseball. I'm okay. Very good. Yeah, I was commanding the ball a lot. I was trying to spin the slider, to spin the fastball well, and it worked. It worked. I was trying to throw fastballs up in the zone and slider very away.
So he looked great. He looks fantastic. I'm a big Urquidy. I always have been a big Urquidy guy, and he looks fantastic right now. Right now. If the playoffs started today, which we saw a lot yesterday since the playoff schedule came out, if the playoffs started today, Urquidy would be your third guy. The way that he is throwing, the way he has looked since in the last 2 months, he has been fantastic. So that was good. You know what? They lost the game. Dusty, you chucked that one up to Dusty. Too many decisions. Too many. I mean, over-managing. Just over-managing. Leave the guy alone. He looked awesome, and they were frustrated. The White Sox were frustrated last night with Urquidy. There was no question about that. I'm watching them go back to the dugout, guy after guy after guy. They're like, holy crap, we can't do anything against this guy. So awesome, awesome job. Yeah, that's what you take out of it. Unfortunately, you got yourself a loss, and you got to straighten Montero out after the last couple outings that he's had. But he's been great all year. Hopefully, he'll be able to turn that around. 713-780-3776. You guys got any thoughts on that? You're more than welcome to get in here with that. We'll talk about that playoff schedule. And somebody was managing the White Sox, and it wasn't Tony La Russa. It wasn't Tony La Russa. But first, you got underdog, Lance. You got an underdog.
I gotta beat. Look, I'm going up against 541,000 people right now, and you could too. In Underdog's Best Ball Mania 3, it is their third iteration of their best ball format, which is whatever the highest score is for every position, that's what's going to be your score. You don't have to start anyone in your starting lineup. You draft. It is a very deep roster draft. You're going to have a chance to pull out names from the rookie class, pull out names who are maybe third-string running backs now that you have a big belief in. Maybe you've been reading up on teams and there's a guy shining right now that you think everyone's sleeping on. This is how in many cases, this is how you're making money, is that you are making the smart, wise decisions in the mid to later portions of your draft, and that's where the skill comes in. And with Best Ball Mania 3, like I said, the highest score is your score, whatever your highest score is for all your players. There's no starting lineups. There's no waiver wire selection. So if you have injuries and go down, that's, you know, tough luck. That's why you got to take advantage of making sure you stack your depth up at every position properly. You need to pay attention to the bye weeks. I almost got bit the other day with that when I drafted three straight running backs with week nine bye weeks. But I can promise you this much. My friends at Underdog Fantasy are going to give you a great time. Every time you go on the app, you can download it on iOS at the Apple Store or at the Google Store. And look out for their over-under games, their rivalry games that they have, daily fantasy baseball games, and, of course, all the fantasy football that you can possibly consume. Use promo code Lance, and you're going to get a match of your first deposit up to $100. It's underdogfantasy.com, promo code Lance.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, on your mind, a better way to live your life. I hope you find it. Find out about me late, just like the Earth's curvature. Something like Serena's and Arenas when I serve to get a strong back.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So after Vaughn doubled to right, and Pollock went to third. I couldn't believe Pollock didn't score on that. But, you know, he's their leadoff hitter, and he wasn't able to score. But then Jimenez comes to the plate, and he doubled to left. And Pollock and Vaughn both scored. So Jimenez is at second, right? Jimenez is at second. And I guess he was at second, and that's the lead run, right? So Abreu is at the plate, and listen, here's what's happening in the crowd right next to the dugout, right next to the dugout. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it all that well, but here's a guy screaming at Tony La Russa. I don't know if you, we'll see if you can hear it.
Hey, Tony! Hey, Tony, run angle! Get angle in there!
Get it!
So Abreu is at the plate digging in, and Tony stops the game. All of a sudden, the game is stopped. If you're watching on television, all of a sudden, the home plate umpire looks over to the dugout, and Tony comes out of the dugout after this guy is yelling at Tony La Russa, and he runs, pinch runs angle for Jimenez.
This guy is, by the way, two rows off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right there, and he's talking to somebody who sees him.
It's an assistant.
He said, tell him.
Looks like an assistant coach there.
Yeah, he's like, tell him
to run angle for him. And sure enough,
yeah, we had to stop it because at some point somebody goes, "Yeah, he effing listened to you" or something that. Unless we get that cleaned up, but yeah, Angle comes in the game.
Yeah, Angle comes in. Well, that's White Sox fan, dude. I told you last year I was there for the playoffs. It was the ugly. We go every year to the first, usually the division series. We go every year, and you know, you get your idiots. But there were, per capita, there are more idiot White Sox fans than anywhere in the world.
That guy wasn't an idiot White
no,
Sox fan.
No, he wasn't
fan.
An
he
idiot.
He was an analytics
no.
director.
No, he was.
Compared
he
to
was.
The rest of them.
No, but the guy that dropped the F-bomb on him after.
Oh, you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, well, he was just like, you.
There are more F-bombs. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That crowd, that fan base. I mean, well, when I was a kid, I used to go to the park, and, I mean, there were more fights. It was unbelievable how many fights. Every game, there were fights in the stands.
More than Dodger fans?
Yeah, it was, dude, I'm telling you.
Dodger fans lead the league.
No, Dodger fans are, well, Dodger fans are stupid, too. They're
Dodger
up
fans
on.
Fought at the All-Star game.
But White Sox fans don't fight the other fans. They fight themselves. They fight amongst themselves.
Dodger fans do both.
Yeah, Dodger fans do that, too, because they got to fight. No, it's true. No,
you gotta fight. I mean,
Dodger fans has taken over. This is a while ago when I was going to the White Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, so Dodger, don't get me wrong, you know. Dodger fan has taken over.
When I watched Woodstock 99, all
oh
I could think
God.
Of was, did you watch it?
Oh, yes.
It's insane, isn't it?
Oh my
when I watched
God.
Woodstock 99, all I could think of was, big deal. This is just a long-form version of when Granato stormed a field for the White Sox.
No, it's not anything like that. That was holy crap. Woodstock 99.
It was literally like, it really was like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, they just took over, and there was nothing anybody could do. However, They really did put them in that situation. The one guy that said, how was this all caused? And he said one word, greed. And it was he was absolutely right.
Well, in Woodstock 99, if you haven't seen it, it's the same guy who did the original Woodstock, which was kind of crazy. I never knew that.
How much younger
I guess
he
wasn't
was.
Paying attention to
right?
it. Right? Yeah, yeah. And it was, it's a situation where A, it was hot, okay, and then B, it was, you know, there wasn't really, number one, there were too many tickets sold. That should have been capped out at 100,000 max probably. And they said they had over 200,000 people.
And
there.
Did you see the prices? The ticket was $150. They had 250-some thousand
yeah,
tickets
that
sold at $150 each.
For a
you know how much festival, you know how much bank but, those guys made?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And that was for a 3-day festival. But those prices were that was sky high for a festival back then in 99. People looking at the water prices, they were saying, I saw the prices. That didn't seem crazy. I'm like, dude, 99, we just had started drinking disposable water bottles.
Yeah.
It hadn't even been around that long. Water was legitimately 50 to 65 cents. It was not expensive. That was $4 water. They were being gouged on prices. They didn't have a good toilet situation at all because they weren't coming
good
to
toilet
clean
situation.
Out the toilets.
Good toilet. It was
the outhouses
gross.
Weren't cleaned out.
It was
horrific.
Gross.
There's trash all over the place.
No, trash all over the place. Dude, how can they not have anybody picking up any of that? It was
nothing.
I mean, you have got to watch this. It's a three-parter, but it is. We watched it all in one night. It was like, oh, my God.
It was before social media, so you didn't. I remember here because those were some of the. I went and watched some of those concerts individually, so I, you know, a lot of the bands I enjoyed listening to. I brought the music into the bench, into our show.
Seen Korn?
Yeah, I've seen Korn. Yeah. Korn started our third hour back in 1999 or 98.
In studio?
Korn, one of the Freak of the Leash was, no, it was the music. Oh. I had the song as the beginning of our third hour when we did a four-hour show.
Oh, so, Limp Bizkit, saw them?
I saw them with Godsmack and DMX.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, it's hype. Just like that was crazy. Watching Korn and DMX, watching an entire crowd of 200,000 people bounce up and down in the mosh pit, that was insane. And it had to be 100 million degrees. But Korn and Limp Bizkit, just like you saw, and Chili Peppers to an extent,
oh, yeah.
The crowd starts going bananas. Back then when those groups would be on. I mean, bananas, and that's what you saw in the video too. But, it's kind of an aside, but I'm glad you saw it because it is.
It's awesome. You got to watch it. It is something. It is.
So
really
if it was today with all the Snapchats and Instagram posts and all that, there would have been, like, the attention, and that's probably one of the good things about social media, the attention after the first day that would have been put on it,
well,
there would have had to have been some changes.
The man. Oh, my God, when they tested the water, so.
Drinking water?
The drinking water was totally, they tested it. They had somebody come in and test it, and it was like totally undrink. The germs and it was gross. Not only that, though, there were guys outside of the porta potties that were diving into them. They thought it was mud. It was water.
Because
from,
water was,
it
yeah.
was. Poo water. It was poo. It was basically poo they were dumping.
It was
jumping.
A combination
and
of
they
poo
had
and
it
mud.
All over. It was. It couldn't have been grosser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could not have been grosser. Let's get Lazy J in here. Let's talk about his Astros before we move on here. What do you say, Lazy J?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Yeah, I had a quick question about the Astros. But, Lance, did you say you went to the DMX concert?
Yeah, here at the
overalls, no shirt, the Tim's.
No, for DMX, nah. Nah, I didn't wear that.
I got you. Yeah, just a quick thing on the quick thought on the Astros. What do you think about that pitch selection? Jimenez. I mean, you had him two fastballs at 0-2, and then you throw him a two-seamer inside. I mean, why didn't you maybe a slider or something away? You want to get your guys' thoughts on that, man. Love the show.
Montero's been... Dude, Montero's a loss right now. I mean, his last two outings, he's been really bad. I don't know what the pitch call was by Maldonado, but whatever it was a huge. There were a couple of huge mistakes earlier in the game. Abreu's got an 0-2 count, and he throws a what looked like a curveball a little bit below the zone, and he golfed it out to left field for a single. 0-2, you throw something that he can't touch. You just throw something he can't touch. You don't give him any chance to hit that ball. But Montero's not hitting his spots at all. He's not hitting his spots at all right now. So, I don't know how much we can. 0-2, strike swinging, double down the left field line. Just awful. But that's where Montero is right now. Got to straighten that dude out. Got to get Murphy on him and straighten that out, because dude has been money all season long. His last couple outings have been really, really bad. 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, you got any thoughts on that, you're more than welcome. We will talk about the playoffs when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're talking Kinetics.
QC Kinetics, a company who... So regenerative restorative medicine, that's what biological, all-natural biological therapies are. And so what I can tell you is what they do is they use growth properties in your own body. They concentrate them. They take them out. They concentrate them even more. And they'll explain the process to you. And then you put them back into the joints. And what that does is it stimulates the growth of tissue. It stimulates regeneration and the restoration of damaged tissue. So you're getting new tissue. You're restoring damaged tissue. I had a guy who has a torn labrum. Ken reached out in direct message. And he said, hey, I want to tell you, this place, QC Kinetics, is working great. He said on his pain scale, he went from an 8 to a 5 after one treatment. And then after treatments 2 and 3, he went from a 5 to a 2. So he said his pain has gone from an 8 to a 2, and it's been something that has just completely changed everything for him. If you have chronic issues in your hip, your knees, and you're already thinking about hip replacements, knee replacements, and you're not even that old, I'm telling you right now, you've got to look at QC Kinetics. They can help to restore those damaged areas so that you're not getting surgery and shots and have, you know, to take all the pain medicine and have the downtime after the surgeries. QC Kinetics can change all of that for you. They have for many professional athletes and for many people just like you and me. Call 713-913-5285. This is your chance to really fight back against chronic pain. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. Check it out, y'all.
Check it out.
Yo, I find the show, rhyme till it's time to go. I'm designed to
be. You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So I'm looking at Montero's season. Do you know he started the season, Lance, 20 and two-thirds, had given up one earned run over 20 and two-thirds.
Yeah.
And then he gave up four runs against Kansas. He had one bad outing in June where he gave up four earned runs against Kansas City. Bounced back well, gave up one earned run the rest of the month, but he had a 4-5-0. July, a 1-5-9, gave up two earned runs all month, an 11 and a third. This month, 9-5-3. Gave up three runs last night, two runs the day before, and a run 2 days, 3 days before that. So he has hit a bit of a wall here. And, you know, you hope he bounced back from that four-run outing against Kansas City. Hopefully he'll be able to bounce back against this one, because Rafael Montero is going to be a big part of the postseason. You got to have that guy. That guy has got to be as good as he's been. He's been a big part. This bullpen has been fantastic, best in the league. It's got fewer innings than anybody in the league because the starters have been so good, and it has been fantastic. The bullpen has done an ERA just over two, just unbelievable. But you got to have this guy. You got to get Montero back straightened out because he's going to be a big part of what you're going to do going forward.
Absolutely, and we know what a disaster the bullpen has been at times in the postseason, and the Astros have had to overcome it with starters in the bullpen or just great starting pitching at times. You just have guys who lose confidence. But Presley's been on a heater other than, you know, a stumble here or there. He's been on a heater. Nerys has been better than he had been. He had had his cold streak, and he's been a little better. You have, you know, Stanek the other day. The unfortunate thing is Nerys, Stanek, Montero, we can remember them very recently getting lit up a little bit. So that's one of those things where, from a recency standpoint, you look at the overall numbers and you say, wow, numbers are really good. You know, Hector Nerys, I think, is below a .9 in whip. So you look at those numbers and you say, whoa. But then when you think about it recently, not quite as dominant, or you can remember an incident where it hurt the Astros. But I think the arms are better. They have better arms. I think they are more confident arms. But, yeah, you'd like to see them pitching some of their best baseball down the stretch as opposed to what always happens, John, where the Astros' bullpen, and literally this dates all the way back to 15, their bullpen is the nuts for the first half of the season, and it's the second half of the season where things start to slide out.
Yeah, but this one should be much more rested than those because they, you know, yeah, AJ was so – he was so wanting to head to the bullpen.
They got to their pitch count faster, too. I mean, I think some of that Dusty may get credit for that, but the fact is, guys they're not getting to 100 pitches until, you know, after the sixth inning in some cases. So the starting pitching is better and deeper.
So
you don't have to go to the pen as
which
much.
Bullpen would you rather have? This bullpen or 17?
Oh, this bullpen.
No question.
That's the hindsight of 17.
What about
17
this?
Couldn't get anybody out.
What about this rotation?
I mean, the rotation, well, you had Keuchel.
You had Verlander, Keuchel.
Keuchel and Verlander.
McCullers,
big
Morton.
Two. Yeah, I'd rather have this. I think I'd rather have this one.
I think this one, too.
This version of Verlander is just as good. I think Keuchel, Fromber versus Keuchel is a wash. At best, actually, maybe Fromber's better than Keuchel in 17. And then, you know, I'm looking at Javier or Urquidy and Garcia versus anybody else against Lance.
Lance and Charlie, Morton.
I mean, they were Lance and Morton were good, but they were really good. We remember them in the postseason games.
Now,
we remember them as relievers doing things that were incredible. Charlie had gotten beat up, I think, a series before. In a game where he lost against the Yankees.
Don't you ever talk bad about Charlie.
He did. See. I mean, when it comes to stuff, I would put Javier's stuff right up there with Lance McCullers' stuff at that time. Lance McCullers in 17 had some phenomenal stuff. He was just a little up and down. Lance's stuff has always been incredible. It's just been a matter of locating fastball, which is an issue then. He had no confidence in his fastball. He said as much, and all he did was throw curveballs. He just said, all right, I'm just going to get people out with curves. Well, Christian Javier is throwing those hooks as well, only he's got a faster fastball, and he can locate it better too. So, you know, I think Javier is better than Lance was at that point. And then Urquidy versus Charlie Morton, I mean, for as much as we love Charlie Morton, I mean, Urquidy's been nailed
fantastic.
For a while.
Yep, and he's got a postseason experience too.
I think Luis Garcia could find himself in a bullpen.
I think he could too. I think it's probably going to be Javier because he's got –
Javier's
we're going to go over
this.
Listen, there's a chance you only need three starters in the division series. So we'll talk about that. But we got guys that are waiting and want to talk about their Astros.
Yeah,
Billy's up first here. What do you say, Billy?
Hey, guys. Why are they taking out that great Mexican pitcher with one out? Jose Urquidy. It's Dusty being Dusty. Why are you putting in Montero? Even if Montero's port's no good to drive. Anyway, Mike the Hat Boat looked pretty good last night. What do y'all think?
I didn't see Micah Hatfield last night. But, yeah, Mike is a fine-looking young woman. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. That's not Billy.
That's Eric.
That's Eric.
You tell by the voice right away.
Eric. What did he say? Why did he take out that Mexican pitcher?
I mean, fine young Mexican pitcher.
Right. It was two outs. And... Montero, gosh, just get it out. You got guys 0-2 and you're giving up hits. Goodness gracious. Now we can't even talk to you, Eric, anymore. Andy, what's going on, Andy?
Yeah, I remember listening to Spike Anderson one time. He said a coach can either win 5 games or lose 5 games. The other games are all in the players with his decisions he makes. Last night, Dusty lost that game, and here's the reason. Montero pitched the night before and gave up 2 runs. The last outing on the 11th, he gave up 1.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he's been lights out. Stanek hadn't given up a run his last 4 outings, and he hadn't pitched since the 12th. And it was 2-0. The guy to go to was Stanek. It was not Montero. And plus, once Montero gets they get a couple hits off of him, you should say, hey, wait a second. There's something not right with him. This is the 3rd outing that he's been touched up. And he's been wiped out up until then. So it was just a wrong choice. Play again today and see what happens.
Well, here's something, too, that we talk about Dusty not using analytics. Well, Vaughn was 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts against Montero.
Yeah, that's why he went.
Montero.
Yeah, but still.
But Montero threw the day before, too, though. He had 2 days off. He threw the day before, gave up a couple of runs. But you know what? If I'm Dusty, I'm like, yeah, he gave up a couple of runs, but I believe in that guy. You know,
but you also have to believe in Urquidy, there's a lot of managers and frankly, general managers who would have done the same thing with Dusty. Okay, you're 3 times through a lineup, your pitch count's right at 100, you've got a reliever who has an 0-for-3 with 2 punch-outs against the hitter coming up. Dusty's not the only guy that makes that decision, but from a hindsight standpoint, that's not a bad argument that he's making in terms of you had Montero throwing just the other night. Stanek was on the bump. They have Stanek's numbers too, by the way, against Vaughn. So maybe that wasn't favorable.
Vaughn is up, right? He's 0-for-6 against Urquidy with 3 strikeouts.
I mean,
now it is 94 pitches in, but dude is in a groove. You're bringing somebody cold out of the bullpen. Now you know what? It's hindsight, but he's 0-for-6 with 3 strikeouts,
and giving up nothing but singles. Like the only hits people were managing against him were basically singles.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, he's got it. Oh well, it's 1 game. You know what? Yeah, I believe that a Dow manager's worth 5 wins, 5 losses. I believe. You know what? That's pretty. You know, he'll make some critical decisions at a critical time that'll either win a game or lose a game for you. I could certainly see that. That was that one. The last night was on. Of course, you know, it would be nice to score a run after no outs in the first and you got 2 runs up, or 1 out in the first and you got 2 runs up. That would help. Right?
Is Dusty reaching a point of no return with fans? And I just ask this because I don't think it's necessarily always fair. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this happens all the time with every fan base, with every player or manager. It really doesn't matter. This is not an Astros thing. This is a sports fan thing. We saw it with Dave Clark back in the day. We saw it with Matt Maloney. We've seen it with so many different players for the Houston. You know, it was Matt Schaub. Although I would obviously argue that Schaub was definitely the problem. But you always once a fan base or the sports media who can influence a fan base decide it's time for a manager to go or a coach to go, that usually is a tipping point. It's usually the point of no return. And I feel like now, even if they bring him back, all the negativity is going to be around Dusty every time there's a loss. You think I'm wrong?
No. Nope.
It's just the way it works.
Yep.
We've seen it for this many years.
Yeah, no, it is. It is what it is. I think. Well, here's the problem. What if he wins the World Series?
Yeah.
You know, now what? Now what?
Well, I mean, you got to give him a chance to come back.
Well, I guess you do.
The Astros don't need Dusty as the pawpaw anymore. Now that they've gotten through their trash can banging, and instead we have the horrific cheaters in San Diego doing what they do, just cheating away and cheating, doing the cheating that they're doing, you know.
Right.
Hopefully America can turn their attention to the scourge of the National League, Fernando Tatis Jr.
When we come back, I promise we're actually going to talk about the playoffs. Remember we were going to do that? Right now, we're going to talk about – but if you want to call, though, and you want to interrupt the show, you're more than welcome to bring your stuff. But not about Micah Hatfield, though, okay? For those of you who don't know who Micah Hatfield is, she's a reporter for Channel 13, and she's a blonde girl that Eric is apparently, and Art. Art has his thing for Micah Hatfield as well. So we have a couple of pervs that watched Channel 13, and they bring their perv to the show. But
I'm Googling now.
No, Micah's a fine-looking young woman. So it is time for me though to talk about HRP. Okay, I said a fine-looking young woman. I didn't say anything denigrating. All I said was fine-looking young woman. And so HR not coming after me. You know, we've had issues with HR here before. David Gout told you. No, it wasn't Granato. Okay, which is that was the huge underdog. If we were doing underdog fantasy right now, that would be a lead-in for it. It's an underdog that I've never been called in for HR issues. But here's the deal: is I am the perfect employee. She wasn't a lock there. Here's the deal for you: is if you don't have perfect employees, you need somebody to help you out with your HR. You need somebody that's going to take care of your payroll. You need somebody that's going to take care of your Affordable Care Act. All of these things are done every single day by HR&P. The technology is second to none. They are going to get you into and here's the deal. Is they're helping you make your widgets. I don't know what your widgets are. Whatever it is that you produce, whatever it is that you sell, you need to concentrate on that as opposed to payroll, having payroll issues. And if you're doing it in-house, you're going to have payroll issues. Never do we have issues with payroll with HRP. Find out for yourself. Make the change. If you're not completely satisfied with your HR and payroll company, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Lance, there are two American League pitchers that have ERAs under 2. Can you name them?
Yeah, they go tonight.
You're damn
Verlander
right.
And Cease.
How about Verlander and Cease tonight?
It's only the third time since in the history of baseball, since they lowered the mound in the late 60s, that two pitchers with a sub-2 ERA have matched up against each other. Third time in history.
It has to be this late in the season, right? Because, you know, first week of the season.
Right.
With so many innings, probably. Probably with so many innings.
Yeah.
Here's
yeah,
Dylan right. Cease on this possible Cy Young matchup.
I would say depending on the results, it could change things up, but there's still so much season left that I don't think it's, you know, I don't think whoever does better tomorrow is necessarily the winner, but, it's definitely important.
Definitely important. This is nice. Verlander talked about it too. This is the kind of. I mean, now the White Sox lit up Verlander. One of his only bad outings this season was against the White Sox. They put a big number on him. You'll remember. I think that didn't end the streak. Remember the long win streak? That didn't end the 11 or 12 game win streak, whatever it was. But it was right around there. It may have. I got to go look that up. Anyway, the White Sox have already. He said, "Yeah, that's great. They got me one time. That's great. Okay, let's see what happens now." So, we'll find out whether or not he can bounce back against them. We'll find out whether or not this Astros lineup. You got to put your good lineup out tonight, right? I mean, Altuve got a day off. This is Dusty taking care of his older guys. That's fine, but you gotta. You got to put your good lineup out there tonight because you got to give a little run support to Verlander. You got to let that guy win one.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah,
I would hope so. Like, who are you going to rest this time? Altuve's. Let's get him in there.
Yeah, no. Altuve's got to play. He's got a stiff. Pena's got a stiff neck. Pena's been out of the lineup a couple of times here recently. Somebody said, can we get a tougher shortstop? Okay. It's a long season. A lot of stuff happens. You get nicks and bruises. No, Washington was the one that they lit up the Astros. They lit up Javier on that Saturday. The White Sox and Verlander came much later in the first half of the season, came in June. Verlander lost that one. They lost that game 7-0, and Verlander was not good. he gave up. It just wasn't good for him. So hopefully this White Sox lineup isn't, they don't have his number, that it was just an aberration, and he goes tonight against Cease. And because if he does get lit up by this White Sox team, four earned runs over seven innings, three and two-thirds innings. He gave up seven runs, four earned, nine hits over three and two-thirds. That's not Verlander. Hopefully it's not that this lineup has his number. It's just that Verlander had one bad outing. So that's tonight. That's going to be a good one. That'll end in about an hour and 40 minutes. You've got a quick game tonight. Hopefully you have some quick games in the postseason as well. The schedule came out yesterday. The Astros season is going to end against the Phillies. You'll remember they have to go longer this year. If we get to Game 7 of the World Series, it'll be the latest game ever played, November 5th in Major League history. They're going until October 5th against Philadelphia. Then, because the Astros have one of the two best records in the league, they will not be playing in the wild card. Unless something drastic happens, there's zero chance the Astros, right? I mean, it's a 94%, 95% chance that
their pitching's too good.
They are not playing in the wild card round. There's no way that the Guardians catch them. And
by the way,
there's
no way. And by the way, Yankees lost again, shut out again yesterday.
Garrett
Cole gives up one run and still catches a loss.
They're awful. They are just awful. What if they lost 10 of their last 12?
Yankee fans are completely
unhinged
right now.
You think we Astro fans?
Unbelievably great.
I don't know what your Twitter feed looked like last night with the Astros and Dusty, but
not good.
I can't even imagine what Yankee Twitter looks like.
Yeah, I'm sure it's got to be bad.
So the Astros Phillies October 5th. Hopefully that game won't mean nothing. They can start whomever. It doesn't matter because they've got 5 days off until October 11th, where they will play their first game against whomever advances, wherever they are. Maybe the Guardian, or maybe the Mariners, maybe the Blue Jays. We'll see how it all works out. So they will play their first game on October 11th. Then they have a day off. I hate that. They play game one, then they have a day off. Then they play game two, then they have a day off. Then they play they play at the visitors, games three and four, no day off, come back for game five. It's a crappy way to do it, although they want to get every other day in National League, American League, and I guess that's the only way that you can go about it. But you possibly could be playing your last four games of the series with one day off. Now, you would get 4 days off between Verlander in game one and Verlander in game four. So if you're up 2-1, you can throw Verlander in game four, or if you're down 2-1 on 4 days rest. Right. The Astros now work 5 days rest, but 4 days is your normal rest. And you don't have to stretch them out. You don't have to worry about, remember in short rest last year in 19, Verlander did not look good coming back in game four with just 3 days rest. You remember that?
Well, I remember.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. So you won't have to worry about that. You would have to worry, though, if you do go five games, is that you start just with one day off and now you got to go. But the Astros rotation is so deep, I ain't worried about that. You know, if you've got to start Urquidy or McCullers in game one of the ALCS, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's the thing about the starting lineup is the rotation. I'm not worried about literally any of these starters getting a start in the ALCS, even leading off the ALCS.
No.
I'm not worried about it.
No.
I mean, I know that Javier and Garcia and Urquidy have the ability to step up just like Fromber and Justin Verlander. So, and then, you know, I haven't even mentioned McCullers because I still want to see more McCullers against someone not named the A's. That's kind of important to me. I love what he did against the A's. That was fantastic. That's a really bad roster. That's a really bad lineup. It's a bad baseball team. I want to see, you know, what he does against the Braves in the next start. And frankly, he probably needs a start against a little easier opponent before the Braves. So if he pitches well against the Braves, that's going to mean even more to me.
So here's the issue, though. Would you get that day off after game one, October 11th? You take the day off October 12th. Then you throw your game two starter, which is Fromber, in game two. He only would have, if you go five games, he would only have 3 days off before game five. So if you decided, then you come back with Verlander, and you get game two, let's say McCullers in game three, Verlander in game four. If you have to go to game five, you might have to start an Urquidy, if you don't want to start Fromber on 3 days rest, an Urquidy who hasn't pitched since maybe October 5th, and that would be October 17th, with 11 days of rest.
Wow. That's a tough call because Fromber's a breaking ball pitcher, so you might just opt with the 3 days to start with a breaking ball pitcher, but that's tough. I mean, we've seen guys don't usually respond well.
No, but you don't want 11, possibly a game five where you have 11 days off. Your pitcher has had 11 days off.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's tricky.
Unless you go four starters, pitch your starter. If you're down 2-1, though, in that game four, would you rather have Urquidy, who's been arrested for 10 days in game four, or Verlander, who's on his regular 4 days rest?
I mean, you're going to say Verlander.
You're going to say Verlander. You got it. It's a must-win situation.
Yeah.
So this, all these days off now,
over Verlander.
It's not ideal having all of these days off if you want to know the truth.
Well, not when they're backed up again. Not when you have days off and then you jam them up against the next series.
No, but the wild card teams are at a huge disadvantage since they've got to pitch. They've got to go through the season, win their spots. Probably that October 5th game is going to really mean something. Then they have 3 days where now you're at home or you're on the road, whatever the case may be, but you might use three starters in those games, have to start in the division series, start your fourth starter, and then, you know, go with your regular rotation in games two through the rest of the series. But you are at a huge, huge disadvantage. Although we've seen teams before coming out of the wild card, we've seen plenty of teams advance from the wild card because they're hot and they get on a roll. All of these days off, 5 days off before you start the playoffs, for sure, at least 5 days off. And possibly in big game situations, you got 10 days of rest for your starter. It might not be ideal.
It might not be ideal, but it also might be ideal for – I mean, then why is Dusty worried about resting Altuve this much?
Well, no, by then, I mean –
I mean, hell, he's going to have like a whole week vacation.
But you'll remember what they do. What they do too is they see how much you run, and they give you days off. They have all those stats about how much usage you've had.
Yeah,
and they give you days off because that. And plus, he's an older player. Altuve, I don't mind him resting.
No, I don't either. I'm kind of making a joke there, but I mean, it is. I'm trying to. Without Brantley, it's not as old a baseball team when he's in the lineup. Altuve's and Yuli are obviously the older players. You've got another catcher now, so you don't worry about the knees or anything like that with Maldonado as much because now you have Vasquez, so that's not as big a deal. You don't. That's not an old outfield. It's not an old infield. You know, you don't with Aledmys Díaz, Bregman, Jeremy Pena, and Diaz, of course, can play anywhere. Diaz is in his 30s, isn't he? Right there at the borderline.
He's right in that neighborhood. I don't
yeah,
know.
It's not an old team. Hey, by the way, this is kind of an aside. Guess who right now, with all the players on the roster, is the third oldest team in the NFL?
The third oldest team in the NFL? The Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they got
isn't
all
it crazy
those...
to you?
No, they got all those veteran linebackers and.
Yeah, I mean, if you think, but you would think that a team receivers. That's not very good and is in a rebuild would be really young, and they're actually the third oldest.
They're going to get younger as soon as, they're going
to
get younger.
Yeah, one would think. Also, the guy who was expected to be let off the chain this year and have a monster
year. Oh, my God.
He was expected by himself.
Right.
That he was finally off the chain and was going to attack everyone and show everyone what was up. Lonnie Johnson just cut by the Chiefs.
Yeah, he was cut by the Chiefs. We'll talk football on the other side right here. There's a big LSU just lost a player. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, you're talking about your patios.
Texas Custom Patios gives you the opportunity to live your best life. And for you, it could be, look, they make it reasonable, too, where you think, I can't have a backyard of my dreams. That's not something I can do. With their ability to finance, you can absolutely do that. And what you can do is not just have a patio that is built with incredible craftsmanship, with the very best materials and the best contracting along the way and design as well. But also, you can have your outdoor patio with your outdoor kitchen. You can include a kitchen. You can include one of their grills that they have, the infrared grill, the cooktop. They can, you know, they'll cut in the vent hood wherever you need it. They've got your television. They've got an AV guy that can do television and sound system. You want to get two TVs out there. That's a great idea for your football. You want to get three. Hey, that's your call. They've got fire pits. They do fireplaces. They can make it look however you want it to look, or they can make it look however you want them to design it to look, because the experts over there know way more than you and I, and they can make it look beautiful just like they did for my home. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com, look at the before and after, and really envision what your life could look like in your backyard. Create an outdoor oasis with TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by GovCost Chevrolet with GMC.